Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, text number 11. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Therefore, you should be kind towards me by showing me complete mercy. I desire to have sons, and I'm much distressed by seeing the opulences of my co-wives. But by performing this act, you will become happy. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, sexual intercourse for begetting children is accepted as righteous. A person sexually inclined for simple sense gratification, however, is unrighteous. In Diti's appeal to her husband for sex, it was not exactly that she was afflicted by sex desires, but she desired sons. Since she had no sons, she felt poorer than her co-wives. Therefore, Kashyapa was supposed to satisfy his bona fide wife. Translation again. Therefore, you should be kind towards me by showing me complete mercy. I desire to have sons, and I'm much distressed by seeing the opulence of my co-wives. By performing this act, you will become happy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter has great lessons for all of us. And this chapter is entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. So here we are seeing that Diti's husband is Kashyapa. And Kashyapa has many wives. So Kashyapa's father was Marichi, and so he had 13 wives, and one of them was Diti. So here in today's verse, we are seeing that Diti is desiring a son. So as I was saying, that Kashyapa had many wives back in the day, in the Vedic days. A man could marry many wives, marry many women. And the reason for that was, generally in human society, women outnumber men. So in order to offer them protection, they were allowed to marry, a man was allowed to marry many women, as long as the man was qualified. So that's the main thing, as long as they're qualified. So here, in this section, we see that Diti is desiring to unite with Kashyapa to procreate children. So as we have heard so far, that Kashyapa Muni, he engaged in performance of yajna, he performed a sacrifice, and after the performance of sacrifice, He was sitting in trance and meditating on the Supreme Lord. And this was in the twilight hours. And Diti, she was afflicted by lust, as is mentioned in the previous verses, and she approached her husband. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this section, he explains that Kashyapa Muni, because after yajna, after performance of yajna, he was sitting down and he was in trance. So he was in deep absorption on the Lord and his eyes were closed. So as a chaste woman, she was, naturally she was shy, and she did not want to make it obvious. She wanted to give some hints by bodily expression and through her eyes. But because his eyes were closed, she had no option but to speak out loud to him her desire. So therefore, she spoke out loud, though, and she you know, gave up her shyness and fear, and then she spoke out loud to him. And as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that her real desire was to beget a son, because she was feeling, as mentioned here, she was feeling distressed that she didn't have a son and all of her co-wives had children. So she was feeling insecure, and it's the natural desire of a woman to have children. That's the female psychology. So, and because they, women have the facility to give birth, so that propensity is there. And naturally she wanted to fulfill that propensity. And then she's approaching her husband to unite so they can have children. So the purpose of sex life is to beget children. That's the way nature has arranged things. Man and woman, they're attracted to each other, and the result of that attraction is gives rise to children. That's the way nature has designed things. And in this way, procreation takes place of different species. This is not only in human species, but we see this attraction between male and female is there in all species. And in this way, life goes on. So this is Krishna's system of creating progeny. So Krishna is such an expert that he has created a system which carries on. So it is said in businesses, it is very important to have good systems. Without systems, it is not possible to achieve success. So systems are very important in any organization or in any endeavor. Systems are put in place. Like, for example, in CrossFit, there are systems there. You know, do the divide, put it in the van, take it, serve it. There are systems in place. So Krishna has also created a system through material nature in which this procreation takes place. So the way it takes place is by when men and women are attracted to each other, and then the result of that is procreation. But in Kali Yuga especially, the attraction between men and women is on the basis of sense gratification. It is not the result, as we know, of when men and women get attracted, is there is procreation. But in Kali Yuga, that is put aside at least for some time. And it is mainly seen for pleasure. Sex is seen as for recreation, not for procreation. And that is evidenced through so many contraceptive methods. We can see through advancement in contraceptive methods, sex is more and more taken for recreation and enjoyment. Same thing. And this concept of that begetting, of engaging in sex life or procreating children, is very foreign these days. Because the prime purpose of life is to engage, for materialistic people, is indriya priti, is to satisfy their senses. And the genitals are one of the main senses, you know, for pleasure-seeking purposes. And the way society is structured and geared is right from a young age. That's what we are taught through advertisements through social media or billboards, different forms of marketing. This message is bombarded in our heads that sex life is meant for enjoyment. And maybe later you can have children, but mainly it's meant for enjoyment. So what Srila Prabhupada is teaching and the Shastras are teaching is very revolutionary. And people struggle with it. And not only people, but even devotees struggle with it. What to speak of non-devotees. So as Krishna, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, text number 20, at Prajanas Chasmi Kandarpa. So he says, of all of causes of procreation, I am Kandarpa, the god of love. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he writes that sex desire for presenting good sons is necessary, and that is Krishna, not sense gratification. So when sex desire is engaged for procreation of children, then that act is Krishna. Krishna says, Prajanas Chasmi Kandarpa. And then in the 7th chapter, he says, Dharma Viruddhu Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarshava. I'm sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So sex life is not forbidden in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people think that Krishna consciousness means you have to become a sadhu or a brahmachari or a sannyasi. Especially in India, people have this misconception. When they see their son taking to Krishna consciousness, they become very concerned. And they think he's going to be a sannyasi or a brahmachari. But the majority of devotees in Krishna consciousness are grihasthas. And we even see in the associates of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya himself, he married twice. And the associates of Lord Chaitanya, most of them were grihasthas. So sex life is not forbidden in Krishna consciousness. It is there, it has its place. And it is meant, and that act in itself is also devotional service, if it is done appropriately. So here, Diti was distressed because she did not have children. So for a woman, if generally speaking, not throwing a blanket statement, but generally speaking, that if women don't have children, they get quite distressed. And this is seen because it is natural for women to desire children. And she said that if you satisfy me, you will become happy. Very interesting. So otherwise, Kashyapa will be miserable if he doesn't satisfy his wife. So if a man wants to be happy in a household life, he has to make the wife happy. Otherwise, he'll be miserable. That every man knows that. So, and in the next verse, Diti explains how Kashyapa will be happy. Kashyapa will be happy, and he by becoming famous as providing children like of his caliber. So he'll have fame that he has procreated such nice children. So the point is that before we get married, it's important to have training, like in anything, like in any endeavor. First, there is training. If we join work, first they train us, or like these days they graduate programs. So first the student is trained, and then they start doing the job. So in the same way, before entering marriage life, training is necessary. These days in Kali Yuga, there is no training. In modern Western society, especially, there is no conception of training. It is assumed that you know what you're doing. But for everything else, there is training. But when it comes to living together in relationships, there is no training. It is quite an irony. But in Krishna consciousness, that training is required. And therefore, there is Varnashram Dharma. So the first ashram is the Brahmachari ashram. So for the women, traditionally speaking, there was no Brahmacharini ashram, traditionally speaking. So the women were trained in chastity right from their childhood. So the setup of society was such that they were trained in chastity. And other skills were also taught, but the main thing was to learn chastity, to be faithful to the husband. And for men, the main training was a character building and to be able to control their senses. So this was the main training. So the purpose of the Brahmachari ashram was to meet this objective, that the men can control their senses and also develop strong character. So that's why the first ashram is the foundation of society. So there's a very nice, there's this room conversation on the 15th of August 1971 in London with Srila Prabhupada, in which this point of training is highlighted. So I'd like to read that to you. Krishna consciousness is a society. Society means men, women, children, families, etc. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu married twice. Oops, sorry. Nityananda Advaita Acharya, Srinivas Gadadhar, they are all married men. Srila Prabhupada was a family man. Krishna married 16,108 times. Married life is allowed. It is a part of Krishna consciousness. The purpose of marriage is for husband and wife to assist one another in their service and progress on the path of love for Krishna. As will be read, Srila Prabhupada... Oh, I'm sorry. There's something got mixed up here in my copy and paste. Oh, yeah, there it is. Sorry about that. Brahmachari should remain lifelong brahmachari if possible. At least it is advised to wait as long as they can. Brahmachari is time for self-control, austerity, to build up strong character. And Manu states in the Manu Samhita that a boy should put off marriage up until the point when his service or duties becomes hindered due to mental agitation. Then he can marry, but for girls that prior to puberty they should be married, and girls should be given a child as soon as she is able. So this is a room conversation on the 15th of August 1971. So this highlights the point of training, that the Brahmachari ashram is meant for training. So it's not that one comes to Brahmachari ashram because they cannot find a job. Sometimes it happens. We see in our ashrams that the people are motivated to become a brahmachari because they can't find work, or it's easy. They're escaping from responsibilities. That's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to learn how to control one's senses and develop strong character, and read a lot of shastra, and develop Krishna consciousness. And sometimes ladies, they join the ashram because they want a good husband. Many times we see that. The main motivation of joining is to find a good husband. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is to learn this quality of chastity. And also to develop in our Krishna consciousness as well. That's the main thing. So traditionally, the women would be trained right from childhood. But that is lacking in today's context. So Srila Prabhupada introduced this Brahmacharini ashram, especially in the Western countries. So to give ladies this opportunity to become trained up and then get married. So marriage is important in society because it protects one from fall down. So in this chapter also we see Kashyapa Muni, he glorifies the institution of marriage. And he says how a wife protects the husband from fall down. Further on in this chapter, he compares the wife to the commander of the fort. So there's in another quote from Srila Prabhupada's books. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 25, text 42, which highlights the importance of early marriage for women and how marriage protects one from fall down and makes, you know, especially the women, very chaste. A young woman who has no husband is called anatha, meaning one who is not protected. As soon as a woman attains the age of puberty, she immediately becomes very much agitated by sexual desire. It is therefore the duty of the father to get his daughter married before she attains puberty. Otherwise, she will be very much mortified by not having a husband. Anyone who satisfies her desire for sex at that age becomes a great object of satisfaction. It is a psychological fact that when a woman at the age of puberty meets a man and the man satisfies her sexually, she will love that man for the rest of her life, regardless who he is. Thus, so-called love within this material world is nothing but sexual satisfaction. So it's a very interesting point Srila Prabhupada is making, that women should be married before they attain the age of puberty. Can you see yourself doing that? No. Because, of course, these days by law, one cannot get married under 18 by law. And the reason for that is because there's so much exploitation which has taken place. So certain laws have been made like that. But in the Vedic culture, it was like that. This is not the modern context. And this is a good reason for that. And the reason Srila Prabhupada states here is when one attains the age, the puberty, then one becomes very sexually agitated. So in Vedic times, one would get married, women would be married at that time. So their minds are peaceful and they know they have a husband. And so there's no... So women are not contaminated, right, from a young age, and there's no adultery in society. So this is very revolutionary, and we are called backward when people hear this. So when people hear about this, modern people, they say Krishna consciousness is very backward, but actually it is scientific, as we can see here, very scientific. So there's another room conversation on 2nd April 1977 in Bombay. So a similar point is highlighted. This is a room conversation between Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, woman brahmacharini, this is artificial. Tamal Krishna. In our centers, though there are so many brahmacharinis, and even sometimes they're encouraged to remain brahmacharini. Prabhupada, that they cannot. As soon as they will find opportunity, they will become vyabhacharini, unchaste prostitute. Tamal Krishna, they'll become what? Prabhupada, vyabhacharini, for woman protection. Tamal Krishna, so you don't advocate this remaining single, these women remaining brahmacharini? Prabhupada, therefore polygamy was allowed. Let them be taken care of, one husband, three wives. Therefore, the Kshatriyas were taking hundreds of women. They had money. They had money. These days, we don't have money, so don't think of that. The men. And we are not qualified also. Tamal Krishna, who? Prabhupada, Kshatriyas. Tamal Krishna, Kshatriyas, yes. Prabhupada, just like we see, when Devaki was married, so many Devaki's young friends also went. They were taken shelter. The woman population is always bigger in society. So when Devaki was married, along her 200 maid servants were sent. Remember that in Krishna book? 200 maid servants were sent. And they were married to Vasudev. It's amazing. So especially for women, it is emphasized they should get married. And this is not a blanket statement, but as a general rule, it is, as it's very strongly mentioned here. Women should, Prabhupada's formula was all women should get married and men should stay brahmachari. So then the question is then how will, it doesn't add up, you know, the equation doesn't make sense. But the point is some men will want to get married. And in fact, the majority will want to get married. But a few will want to go single. And that is very much to be encouraged. And now there's another, there's in one letter Srila Prabhupada says, women should get married if they find a qualified husband, otherwise they should stay single. Just to balance that. So this is a letter to Saswarup on Montreal, 18th of August, 1968. That the Brahmacharini ashram is a good success is very good news, but the best thing will be if the grown-up Brahmacharinis get married. According to Vedic culture, woman is never to remain independent. I shall be glad if the Brahmacharinis can have nice husbands and live as Grihasthas. But if they cannot find out good husbands, it is better to remain a Brahmacharini all the life, even though it is a little difficult. So that's, you know, another angle to it. So again, the point is the men have to be qualified. And so the Brahmachari ashram also produces qualified men. So then they get married to the women. So that's the program. So the point I'm making is marriage as an institution is necessary and proper training is required to before entering that ashram. And also that training will be very useful when one enters that ashram. That's the main point I'm driving. So are there any questions or comments on this section? Somebody, any corrections, comment?
I read something on a flight coming over here that the latest thing, you know, in terms of women who want to determine their future and their, particularly their career path, that they say that a woman's, the egg that the woman produces when she's young, in ovulation when she's like in her early 20s, very healthy, has a good potential to be a healthy embryo, and so they want to freeze them now.
Oh, okay.
They freeze them, and they'll bring them back, you know, after they've done their career, 35 years old, they'll get them out of the freezer and I don't know, incubate them. And there was an article in the Time magazine by this woman who was doing it, she was 24 years old or something, and she was having a big position in a big company, Google or something like that. And the title was, "No man's going to tell me when to have a child. Destroy my career. But I still want to have the healthy children, so I'm going to freeze my eggs now." And very expensive, really expensive, and there's no guarantee that they'll, you know, you can have a whole lot of these eggs waiting.
Yeah, someone saw a business opportunity.
Another way to exploit women.
Yeah, that's right. Any questions?
Someone in her city, someone they did IVF. not timely for you.
Mm. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Is it the motivation to get a son is like envy? Can you come on the meeting? The motivation to get a son.
Yes.
Because the opponent of other wives get having a son.
Yeah. Yeah, insecurity. There was insecurity. All the co-wives have kids. I've been left out. And it's natural for women to want children. So as Srila Prabhupada writes, her desire is actually bona fide.
And,
say again? For devotees, like to have a kid. Yeah. Okay. In any case, well, in this case, she wanted a kid, and that's quite natural for a woman. And she did feel insecure by looking at everyone else. You know, they're all having kids, I'm left out, and I'm not sure if it was envy, but it was just her natural desire to want kids, and she was just feeling left out. Is that right, Prana Prabhu? What's your opinion on that?
Children.
Yes.
Co-wives.
Yeah, co-wives had children. What's your take on that, Prabhuji?
Yeah, it's a natural tendency. Probably the emotion is envy, probably.
Mm.
She's feeling envious because it's natural. Expecting this to get this nectar from the heavenly planets, so they're excited to get first they had to go down, and they were preparing themselves for the nectar, take a bath and come back and get ready for this nectar. And then actually there was a trick, and the nectar was kept for the river, and the snakes were just trying to lick up the nectar, and they actually, that's when they, it says it's when they cut their tongue, bifurcated their tongue on this grass, this sword grass, and they didn't get the nectar. Actually they got this poison.
Mm.
And Garuda and the demigods got this thing. Mm. And his mother was freed, the nectar was freed from that curse. So that was envy. She was definitely
envious
of her sister. Mm. Of his son.
Another pastime comes to my mind is Maharaj Anga. He was not able to to beget a child, and then by the blessing of Narad Muni, he was able to beget a child from one queen. And then the other queens got envious because he didn't beget a child from us, and he's more affectionate to this one queen, and therefore they poisoned that child, Harshasoka. So that was also based on envy, we see. So yeah, envy is basically indirect appreciation for something else, what somebody is doing. And envy is very detrimental to Krishna consciousness. And the way to overcome is to appreciate what other devotees are doing. Is to appreciate and to serve them. But the result of envy is very destructive, as the examples you were pointing out and this one. Yeah?
Just adding a story. When the Godhead is the same thing.
And
the Godhead is the same thing.
Yeah.
Because she got her embryo, it was like under, and Vyasa also cut into 100 pieces.
Same deity, so Kashyapa could get a son who can kill Indra.
And then
again to the 90s, so Kashyapa, and then last getting into the city, say, I want a son who can kill
Indra. That's right.
Yes, you get the leader for years. You can see it down again.
Mm.
The motivation to get a son is not to, even though she got to die again, again she wants a son.
Yeah. Envy is very powerful.
You gave a pressing that I couldn't hear.
He's saying that Diti wanted a son from Kashyapa who can kill Indra. So that was based on envy. That's what he's saying. Sixth canto. So yeah, envy is very powerful. It is basically indirect appreciation of someone else, of what they're doing. So the way to overcome is to glorify other devotees for what they're doing and try to do like them, follow in their footsteps. Otherwise, we come in the material world because of envy only, envy of Krishna. So envy of Krishna can be overcome by glorifying Krishna, by reading about Krishna and glorifying Him. So that way we overcome that envy. Yeah, thanks for that question.
What you have told, it's right, possibly okay. Just when you get married early age and this man go to voluntary ashram. But today's context.
Yeah.
How do you contextualize this? Because it is completely.
Yeah, I said that.
How many is accommodation you have in voluntary ashram?
No, we can have more accommodation. That's not a problem. So the question is, women becoming, getting married at a young age is out of context. That's the point he's making. And then the other point he's making is, Brahmacharini ashram is small enough, we cannot accommodate many if they want to be. So point number one, what Prabhupada is saying, he's talking about that when one attains puberty, especially for women, they become sexually agitated, and to offer them protection from lust, it's important they get married. Correct? It is. This is out of context, but the principle still remains that one should get married. That's the principle, and one needs training. So that's why we have the Brahmachari and Brahmacharini ashram in this context, in the Western countries. So for women, if they are not married before they come to Krishna consciousness, they have the facility to join the ashram and learn to be chaste and develop other good qualities. So in terms of expansion, yeah, if many line up, we can rent more ashrams and buy more houses, not a problem. But we have to see people lining up first. So the main point is training. So the principle still remains. You have to take the principle. Yeah, what you call that? Yeah.
He's adding to what Nanda Maharaj was saying, that is it envy if our desire to advance in Krishna consciousness is motivated by seeing others advance? And Deva Meeta Swami says that in the Bhakti Bhava book, that when we see devotees, advanced devotees, and we think, I want to be like that, we shouldn't think that is a small thing, because Krishna is always waiting for that. Compares it to a sprout, that desire to a sprout. When it sprouts, Krishna is waiting for that.
Yeah, that's appreciation and wanting to advance. But if someone thinks, I can't see that person advancing, I want to pull him down, then that's envy. But that's good appreciation. Thank you. Yeah, one final point. It is true, one can be brahmachari anywhere, but for most people they need training. And unless if someone comes to Krishna consciousness, they're already married, then obviously we won't recommend that you break up and join the ashram. But if someone's not married, then they'll be encouraged to join the ashram if they want to do it, because they will get very strong training. But as a general rule, it is advised that if someone's not living in the Brahmachari ashram, they get married, because there's no in-between ashram. There's no ashram in which one is like half a Grihastha, half a Brahmachari. So one gets purified by entering the Grihastha ashram and taking responsibility for one's sex life. Yep, thank you. Good point.
You have a very important point. Because if they are in the ashram, they are more protected, the women. They are well protected. If they are outside, they are more chance of exploitation.
Yeah.
So it's better if they are in the ashram.
I was talking about the women.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthasrema Bhagavatam ki, Thay Gaur Premanande.